Okay, I think Vince will probably get started, and then as more people join, it looks like we've kind of got 36 people in right now, so that's amazing. I'd just like to thank everybody for coming. This is our first, I guess, large scale community call like this, so any feedback after the call would be more than welcome. Things you liked, things you didn't like, things we can kind of do better for next time, or things you guys want to learn about. My name's Megan. A lot of you might know me during the sales process. And then, you guys have had the chance to have some really great relationships and really work closely with our CS team. So both James and Lee are both on this call as well. But the reason why we wanted to bring you guys all together is really these are kind of unprecedented times. And we are fielding a lot of questions from all of our teams. And we really want to be good partners. And so we've realized that there's probably a few different themes that are similar across the board. And so being able to get this larger group together and have a good discussion, Vince and Joseph are incredibly knowledgeable and have some really great insights. And we're learning a lot of things from both our Major League clients and you guys, and things that we're reading and seeing in the data as well. And so having a good opportunity to share that, but this is also a call for you guys, so we would love and encourage participation. Because we have such a large group, we would love if you could use the hand raiser feature, which is on the bottom right of your screens. If you kind of open up the participants tab, if anybody can't see that, please message me, Megan, directly, and I can kind of give you a little screenshot of it. Or feel free to use the chat to post questions, and we'll get to those as well. So with that, those are kind of the housekeeping items, but I will pass it off to kind of Vince and Joseph and you guys to have a really great conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much, Megan. Appreciate it. We are recording this morning, so hopefully I don't make a fool of myself too much, but I just want to make sure everybody else knows that as well. Yeah, I'm CEO here at Stellar Algo. We've also got Joseph King is going to be speaking a bunch, who's our Chief Product Officer, whom many of you guys have met. We haven't done a call of this scale before. We've done some really interesting small, more round table types, but this one is larger. We've been in a lot of discussions with teams, leagues, business leaders across the industry. And we've just heard a lot of interest for a call to connect some of the thought leaders, from some of our more innovative partners. And we're really happy that we've got so many of you guys that are joining us here today. We know that there's a lot of different calls and, frankly, just noise out there right now with all that's going on. And so we wanted to make sure that this call is really relevant to you guys and is going to be helpful. And we appreciate you making some time for it. We're hoping to cover some of the specific themes and topics that you guys specifically told us you wanted to learn about. So we're going to try to do a really good job this morning of covering the specific themes and asks that you guys are really wanting to focus on. So please, as Megan said, do use the chat. We want this to be valuable for you all. So please help guide us, and let's get answers to your questions. The three major themes that came from our asks were really around, approaches to processing tickets in this environment. So how are teams dealing with customers, refunding credits, exchanges, offering great customer touch points, but also balancing it with what's best for organizations from a long-term but also short-term cash perspective. So we're going to cover that in our first topic. Number two is, how to be successful with data in this crisis. And, we want to talk about the things that, we know best, and, we are partners with you guys on the customer data side, obviously. And so we want to make sure we talk to you guys a little bit about how we're thinking about data in this environment, and, how you guys can use data as, we think, a real tool to go on offense, so that we're all ready to go once live events start, and maximize engagement, while we sort of are waiting for things to return to a new normal. Last, we are going to talk about the platform specifically. You all were a bunch of people asking, how is the platform, going to help me to get through this period and, set us up for success when games do return. And so Joseph's going to be drilling into that, and pretty excited about some of the product side, work that we're actively taking on right now, to make sure we're helping you guys, prepare to fill the house, as soon as possible. Just sort of high level, as we get into topic, before getting into topic one here, I did just want to, mention that, in kind of my and our experience, high level on this, this is going to impact the way that people experience events. COVID-19, I would say, make no mistake on this one. I read a lot out there about, optimism around, people are going to have pent up demand to come back to sports. And, I absolutely 100% believe that. No two people are alike, and no two people experience live events, exactly the same. This is going to impact the way, people, experience events. Sports is very, very resilient. But as an industry, we can't play defense and really wait for what that new normal is going to be. We have to really be taking steps forward and taking steps today to collect data and understand our customers. It's an opportune time to go on offense, understanding our customers, so that when we start back up, we're able to nurture them back. We're going to talk a little bit about using that data and dig into that on this call. Just from a high level, there's some real great opportunities to use the data right now. Think about new currencies that exist. Unfortunately, no one can sell tickets right now. So we're going to talk about some new currencies that we can be tracking that are, extra valuable at this time. How do we spend time, segmenting and testing and learning right now to get ready for to a return to events. I'm going to pause here. We're going to get into topic one here shortly, right now. Anything else from the Stellar side before we jump into topic one here? Okay, perfect. Just approaches to processing refunds, credits, and exchanges. Wanted to, to jump into that with you guys. This is absolutely something, very important. Really turning, these refunds, credits, deferrals into an opportunity for you guys is very important. We know that teams are in the process, of planning for multiple scenarios around, when the season, could begin, shortened seasons, loss of seasons, there's all sorts of different scenarios playing out. We've heard some really great things about teams working to move, hospitality and group events later in the season. We know that a lot of you are focused on trying to keep revenue in the 2020 season where possible. And with lost events, there is a really big focus on working those exchanges, credits, and refund policies. On our call today, we want to share a couple innovative approaches. We've got some great people that we've heard from directly that are doing some interesting things. And so I thought, for now, what I'd like to do is maybe tee up John, John Katz right now, to talk a little bit about some of the things that, he's doing in Columbia with the Fireflies, because it's something that we thought would be interesting for the entire group here.
Yeah, well, thanks, Vince, and thank you to the Stellar team for putting this together. One of the things that's becoming increasingly clear, I think we probably had an inkling of this about a month ago, but what's really become clear and a focal point for our three teams is that this isn't going to be a 2020 problem, right? We know it's all a massive problem for 2020, but the problem also extends through 2021. As we look at it, whether we play 35 games, 25 games, 10 games, or 0 games, when we start to think about monies that have been paid to this point, whether it's on the partnership side, season ticket memberships, suite packages, if we don't have any games or if we have a limited number of games, we're either going to be forced with refunding or keep the money as credit towards next year. Well, you still get the same operating expenses next year, but you won't have the money coming in. So for us, we've done, I think a lot of folks have applied for the SBA EIDL loans. We've also applied for all three of our teams for the PPP loans, so that we can keep all of our people on staff. But from a cash flow perspective, and that's, we always say in this business that cash is king. Cash is really going to be king for the next 18 to 24 months. So as we go through and talk about, how we're dealing with clients, basically we've put together kind of a schedule of 4 different options for people. The first one, and this is specific to groups and hospitality, single game suite rentals, is to try and reschedule them. What we've told our folks to do, to the extent that it's possible and feasible for the client, is to start at September 4th, which is our last scheduled home game for now, and start building backwards. So at least that way, if there are going to be games, even if we don't start till August, we know we've got that inventory in September. So option one is reschedule. For folks that are rescheduling for later in the season and not canceling, we're giving them a 10% bonus in stadium cash. And again, we're doing that as an incentive for them to keep their business in this current year. Option two is a credit for next season. Again, especially if they've paid us and, any bonus credits that we're giving are really based on monies that have been paid. So if they can't reschedule for 2020 because, whatever, it was a conference and they're only in town in April or in May as we start to get into our May groups as well, we're going to give them the same bonus just at 8%. Again, slightly smaller bonus, still bonusing them for being loyal customers. But again, cash flow in this current year is the most important thing. And then we'll kind of address 2021 as we go through the process. Option three is a refund. Now we're giving people a couple of different options when it comes to refunds. The first one is to give them back a refund plus 10% in stadium cash. So if they've got a $5,000 event, they've given us a deposit of $1,000, we're given the option of taking that $1,000 back as $1,100 in stadium cash that won't expire. Again, trying to retain money and giving them back something that can be used in the future. The fourth option is a refund by method of payment. We obviously don't want to get to that point. But as our group reps and our season ticket reps are reaching out to folks, our suite member reps, they're basically presenting them with the reschedule credit options right up front, but also being very clear that, we understand that this may not work for everybody. So please let me know if neither of these or which of these options works best for you. And if neither of them work, please give me a call and we'll work through that. And then we'll get into the refund discussion. So it's basically very similar on the season ticket membership side. Again, I think it's fairly easy when we get to the 7 and 14 game mini plans because, again, if we play half a season, we can just reschedule them into games that fit. Where it gets a bit more complicated, of course, is half seasons and full seasons. And we're basically running that same scenario. Reschedule where possible for season ticket members. If we miss half the game and they want to convert unused tickets into a group night, we're happy to do that for them. Any way to make sure that the tickets don't go unused. Credit, again, with a 10% bonus for the 2021 season. Refund monies paid, all in stadium cash with a 10% premium. And then again, refund by method of payment. We've scheduled, I know that it's probably different for most folks, but we've kind of said as we get into doing refunds, we're going to do them on the first day of the next month. So if we get folks that want refunds for April events, we're going to process those on May 1st. Certainly everybody is unique. Every case is unique. We have had folks, you know, with birthday parties and people getting laid off that just need the money back, and we're issuing immediate refunds when we can do that. So that's kind of it. You know, the challenge that we have, which is a, you know, is a great problem in years one and two, and it's a horrendous problem in year five of our venue, is that all of our suite packages, for the most part, with one exception, were on five-year deals. So this year is year five. So that creates kind of a unique situation for us, where we've even talked about going to people and saying, hey, let's extend for another 5 years, and either A, any games we play this season are yours for free, or B, the first year, which would be 2021, would be at a ridiculously reduced rate. We've even talked about throwing in the first year for free, especially for folks who've already paid for this year. So we have that, you know, both in our suites, our club seats, all of our super premium seats. Basically, this is like the worst time. Not that there's ever a good time for something like this to happen, but for our organization in particular, being in the fifth year of the venue and having five-year contracts expiring and no real indication of when we'll be playing. Certainly some speculation as to whether or not we'll be playing at all until April of next year. So again, that's our approach. You know, but again, we remain nimble and fluid and making sure that we're meeting the needs of our fans. One of the things that we are doing is our reps are reaching out to people constantly, making sure they're in touch. You know, I think everybody's probably participating in the at-home opening day today. You know, we're following a full schedule. Our team has been shit the last 2 years. So we're actually going to stream our 2017 opening night, which was Tim Tebow's first professional home run. We just have our new broadcaster and his number two doing a brand new play-by-play so that we can drop mentions for our current sponsors, season ticket members, and also suite members.
Great. Hey, John, I wanted just to ask you on your just as you go out with your strategy for crediting and refunds, you mentioned your reps are talking, you know, a lot to the season ticket holders. How are you thinking about sort of your, I guess, communication plan around that stuff, timing wise and delivery? Is it all hand to hand combat, or how are you guys, I guess, messaging it to your fans?
It is a blend. It's, you know, we almost have it in a cadence, where there's email contact, you know, early in the week, and phone contact late in the week. You know, kind of the nice thing about this, especially for residential season ticket members, is that nobody's working. You know, our city is shut down. Our state is one of the few holdouts that have not completely shut everything down, because we are in South Carolina, and, you know, there'd be hell to pay if we shut our gun shops. So places like that are still thriving and selling millions of rounds of ammunition like we can shoot the coronavirus. But yeah, so our reps are actually having great luck getting people on the phone and really just having conversations. And, you know, as we talk to people, they kind of have, I won't call it an on paper script. We do have a script that's on paper, but most of them are savvy enough not to need it anymore. But they kind of let that conversation that they're having with our folks guide what goes next. So if people immediately bring up, you know, hey, I was laid off, this is a real struggle, we've got, you know, someone someone in our family that has it. So we're all on quarantine. You know, a lot of it for us is just listening and finding out what it is we can do to help. We did just steal an idea from Mike in Durham. We're getting ready to launch our own t-shirt campaign in conjunction actually with our city. They're doing a program that the mayor's set to announce here in the next day or two, where they are providing free hotel rooms to first responders, frontline personnel, so that they have a safe place to stay and there's no risk of them bringing it home to their families. So all the proceeds from our t-shirt sales will go directly to this program to benefit first responders directly.
Yeah, that's great. No, thanks for sharing that. You know, one other question from me here, and you know, if anybody has any other questions for John in the chat or any other additional great ideas that you think would be valuable for the group, you know, please feel free to put your hand up in the chat there. But I did want to ask, I mentioned at the top of this call, just going on offense a little bit. And when you talked about your suite holders, it, you know, struck me like, you know, that's a really, great way. We were trying to extend these suite holders. I'm wondering how has that been perceived and where you guys are at in that process of, you know, you have to forego some revenue, you know, potentially with the shortened season this year, but, you know, long-term you're still able to, you know, hopefully retain most of those suite holders and, you know, get contracts signed. Where are you guys at in that process? Is it still early days or how has that been received so far?
It's early days. We're keeping it, you know, we've got a plan, but the plan's going to have to adjust. And until we kind of have an idea of when and if we're starting, I think that's going to dictate what the plan looks like. So if we're somehow able to be playing after Father's Day weekend, so starting up with, you know, what would normally be all of our all-star breaks, if we still have 40 games left, you know, that's a great opportunity for us to say, hey, look, let's extend this for 5 years. We'll give you this season for free.
Yeah.
You know, but until we kind of know where it is, you know, thankfully most of our suites, our payments are due for suites in September of the prior year. So most of our suite revenue has already come in. Of course, in these times though, we've spent a lot of it.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, preparing for the season and season's mm-hmm. supposed to be underway. So that makes a lot of sense. Great. So thanks, John, for sharing that. No, really interesting to hear some of the things you guys are doing. And we will have some additional time for discussion at the end of this call. So, you know, I'm going to move into our topic two, which is really, you know, how to be successful with, you know, data in this period. You know, some of the best practices we're hearing and, you know, some of the things that we've, you know, seen worked in the past. You know, this is an unprecedented time, but, you know, we have experience during NBA lockouts and NHL lockouts and, you know, data can be a real, you know, a real tool and asset and, you know, sometimes gets a little bit of forgotten about in this time period, just because, you know, obviously there's a lot going on. There's a lot of anxiety. You know, everybody is in, you know, survival mode to a certain extent. But there are some simple ways, again, talking about going on offense and being ready for, you know, for when things return. We really think that data is kind of more important, you know, than ever, and is going to become more important than ever as a result of the environment that we're in. So moving into topic two here, and thanks again to John. You know, really being, you know, this is about being successful for data, you know, in this COVID period. As I mentioned, you know, focusing on understanding your fans better so that you can keep them engaged and then be ready to convert them the day after COVID. That's really, you know, what this next topic is about. You know, no matter what sort of happens in terms of when live events do come back, when they do return, which is inevitable, understanding your fans is going to be more important than ever. And there is a lot of dollars at stake, you know, early on in our seasons coming back, that if we aren't on top of, you know, who are our fans, how are they going to engage with us? How do they want to be nurtured and engaged leading up into seasons? If we're not proactive in building that understanding now, you know, there are more real dollars at stake. And it's really, I think, dependent on the health of our industry, is really going to boil down to understanding and nurturing those fans through this time. And there's a lot of great work being done by teams, I think, to talk to fans at a level that's never been done before. And John, as John just mentioned, you know, people are taking calls and people are interested in talking with teams and their reps. You know, team leaders, et cetera. And there's some simple things that can be done in order to make sure that, you know, we are collecting data in this time period when people are taking the time. You know, CRM systems, you know, become more important, frankly, in this environment. You know, many teams thinking about, you know, potential staff turnover, might have to lay off employees. What's important is to make sure that we're logging the information and data that are coming out of conversations with fans in this time period. Because, you know, once things ramp up again, collecting that information and being ready to use it is going to be a real strategic advantage in, you know, picking up conversations and moving them forward. And regardless of, you know, how large your season ticket holder or group's base is, it is a real important time for discipline on, you know, capturing information on fans. And, you know, it might be something like, you know, this fan did just, you know, lose, they might've lost a job. They might be in much tougher, like many people, tougher financial situation than they were in the past. You know, making sure that data is entered into the system is very important, so that you guys are able to leverage it and ultimately, you know, use that understanding to show compassion to your fans, but also nurture them in the right way coming back. You know, there's a lot of digital activations that are going on right now, and we see a ton of digital content out across sites. You know, know a lot of minor league baseball teams, other leagues as well are streaming historical games. You know, really important to be collecting data. I can't tell you the number of times right now I see these great activations happening, but no real way of collecting any data on them. And, you know, I know things are happening, you know, very fast and we all have very lean staff sizes, but, you know, there are some real simple ways to throw up a form, to collect data on fans, you know, get them to opt into your email newsletter list. You know, without those sort of, you know, digital breadcrumbs or data points on fans, you know, we really lose the understanding of, you know, who our fan base is and how they are engaging with us through this time. And it's a really huge lost opportunity, because, you know, if you've got 300,000 unique fans today, you know, the question is really going to be how many of those are still really active and engaged, a few months from now, or, you know, a month, a few months, a year from now, when play ultimately resumes, you know, who is staying and remaining engaged? Who are we able to continue to nurture? Understanding those things is just really, really paramount. And it can be a good opportunity to nurture your, you know, nurture your fan base. New data points becoming more important, things like refunds and exchanges and credits. There's opportunity to leverage those data points in a way that, you know, in the past wasn't going to be as important. So really understanding your pipeline of business, and whether that's existing or new, you know, capturing that refund exchange and credit data, in your ticketing system, in a good way, it is really important. You know, we'll talk about this in a minute, cause I've actually going to be asking a lot of the tickets.com teams to, you know, support us on something. And Joseph's going to talk on the product side, but we are working with tickets.com right now to get credit data coming across. Obviously the volume of that data is going to be at a level, you know, that don't typically see. And so we don't typically actually get the credit data back from TDC. And so we're working with them right now to pull that data across, because those can be really predictive data points of likelihood to return, obviously, when games do come back. I also wanted to say I have seen a couple teams go out with some simple surveys. And again, this is where Stellar Algo, we're here to help you on these sorts of things. We're glad to coach you guys through this, with a compassionate message of trying to learn and understand your fans and what's important to them. This is a good time to do some surveying as well. We are seeing fans interact, in the studies that we see and, across the teams we work with, we are seeing traffic go up on websites, not in the way it would typically when you are starting your season or anything, but, more than a month or two ago, fans are, are at home, they're engaging with digital platforms. And so they're looking for content that will be interesting to them. So, so there are opportunities to collect data and, leverage the additional traffic that, that you guys have the opportunity to tap into. A couple more points that I just want to make here, and I'll recap some of these as well. But this is a time when there is, as you guys are able to create some time, to segment your audience, profile fans, and prepare content strategies for when you do come back. It is a good time to start to really segment those audiences and put pen to paper a little bit on who are the different groups of my fan base, how do they differ, and how am I going to go after them, now, but in the lead up to the season. So thinking about the journeys that those fans might go through in a lead up to a season, we can double down a little bit in some really, and not in too aggressive ways, but because we're not executing on games in the typical fashion this month, there is an opportunity to do a little bit of extra planning. And if you guys can dedicate time to that, we're here to help you on that. But really segmenting that audience, profiling fans, and then putting some thought to the journeys you'd like to see those fans go through in the lead up to the season is something that we think is really going to be important, because crisis times like this actually, push fans in different directions for how they want to engage with you, how they want to hear from you. Are they looking to sports as an escape, more than ever? Are they looking, do they want to hear, compassion and the odd check-in from you because they're really down? Understanding those sorts of things can really be a tool for you guys in nurturing those fan bases. And then testing and learning with data. And sort of my challenge to everybody here is to create or use this opportunity to create a real test and learn culture with data, and think about new currencies as you guys do that. You can't sell, tickets today. So there are some new currencies that are becoming more important. And those new currencies can be things like email engagement and conversion rates. They can be things like ancillary revenue streams. E-commerce and merchandise, obviously pale in comparison from a revenue perspective, but from a fan engagement perspective, they are very, very important. And if we can start to think about our KPIs a little bit differently organizationally, thinking about engagement, avidity of fans, are going to help with that segmentation and are going to help you learn more about your fans. Let's run an A/B test offer, with a historical game message and maybe one with something more current about some sort of update on the team or some other angle, and see which one resonates better with different fans. And let's log that, diarize it, so we can understand which type of fan we might have and how they might be responding in this environment. So, you know, with a little bit of extra intentionality, I think this is a really interesting time to be able to test and learn with data, log more data, collect more data on fans. We're obviously here to help you. And we think that about going on offense here, you know, let's not just wait for, you know, games to be announced and expect that demand is going to just, you know, be soaring because people are going to be, you know, are going to want to go and experience these live events again. Because for some people that will be true. For others, it's going to take more work and probably a different approach to nurture them back. The last couple points here, I just share a couple examples around this for you guys that I think are important, just to bring this together. I think, you know, I've talked to a couple senior leaders that are really rolling up their sleeves to use tools in this environment in a way they haven't before. And this might be to the chagrin of their staffs, maybe or maybe not, but you know, having, you know, a senior sales leader or even a president start to use a CRM system more. You know, your presidents are might be, you know, using data to, you think of it in an 80-20 rule type way, but, you know, if, 20% of your fans are making up 80% of your revenue, maybe your president is on the phone talking to your largest corporate partners or, you know, largest season ticket buyers. And so can they, when they have those conversations, use the CRM system to document information on those really important fans, and get a lens into how these systems are supporting the organization. We've had a couple additional senior people log into our customer data platform, which is great. But even on the digital side, you know, what are we, you know, looking more into those analytics and senior leaders, you know, the old KPIs and org goals as you guys, the, you know, presidents are setting for the organization. You know, are there some new KPIs that, you know, you guys are now measuring and putting front and center and, you know, burning the old ones, at least for a period? I really think it's an opportunity for the senior leaders to take a different type of interest and really use this time to understand the fans and a little bit more granular level of the business where they can. I talked to one NBA team president last week. I wanted to share, you know, what they're thinking about. What he was thinking about is, what does the sports staff of the future look like? And thinking a lot about cost of sale and not just revenue. You know, thinking about the organization of tomorrow being more lean, you know, more data driven, you know, more margin and profit focused. And, you know, how can technology and data support that sort of org of the future? Because he was really saying that, you know, with the remote work environment, you know, with fans approaching live events in a different way coming back, what does the sports staff of the future need to look like in order to, you know, nurture the post-COVID fan? And so that was another thing I just wanted to, you know, get you guys all thinking about. And I do think it does start with the fan themselves and how they want to be interacted with and who they are. But the post-COVID front office might look a little bit different and can look a little bit different and probably should look a little bit different than, you know, than the pre-COVID front office staff. So thinking about this as an opportunity to structure your organization for, you know, for that new world is an opportunity as well. So that's a lot from me. I'm going to pause here. If Joseph is going to jump in next, I want to get into topic three here. We're going to talk about some of the Stellar Algo functionality and how it can support with some of these data use cases. But are there, if there's any questions immediately for me on that long diatribe, please raise your hand or feel free to pepper me with a question or two.
Hey, Vince, I just want to kind of tee up Derek from the Corvallis Knights. He had a really great question about some ancillary kind of revenue ideas and opportunities in this time. So, Derek, I'll kind of don't forget to unmute yourself, but I'll let you ask that question.
Yeah. So obviously, we can't really be selling tickets, and you know, advertisements, tough groups, and you know, if we're not saying we're not selling concessions. Outside of you know, trying to sell merchandise or gift cards online, has anyone found some success in other ways to generate revenue that's not traditionally what we would see at the ballpark? Or has anyone, you know, have any good ideas? Because obviously we're all need to find a way to make money this summer if our season is canceled or shortened or postponed or whatever. So just wanted to throw it out there and see if anyone had something that would work well for them.
Hey, Derek, maybe I can jump in really quick here. You know, this is not always feasible depending on, you know, the infrastructure at your park. And I think we talked about your unique scenario in Oregon. But, you know, we are hearing teams that are, you know, to your point, driving buyers and fans to the merchandise store. So that's one that you mentioned. And then also, you know, using that food and beverage infrastructure where possible to try to, you know, maybe get meals out in the community. So that's one of the things that we've heard. I'm not sure if there's other folks in the line that, you know, maybe would like to add something.
I raised my hand. I don't know who's doing all that. But in Omaha, we kind of took the idea from one of our other AAA baseball team friends. I think they did like a takeout situation. Somebody did a takeout Tuesday, and we're working with our concessions and catering to do that. And our very first one was very, very successful. We had 300 slots possible, and it sold out in 6 hours. But it was relatively really cheap. It was like, we're probably going to charge more for it in the future, but, and it wasn't tied to our ticketing system. Unfortunately, we probably should have collected more data on that, but we know in the future, we're going to try and collect more of that. But, it was essentially a family four pack. They'll come drive through, essentially we'll give it to them. But it also had four vouchers to opening night, whenever that'll be as well. So that's some fans in the stands tied with a promotion that we're doing right now.
Awesome. And thank you.
This is Mike with the Bulls. I was on a call with some teams yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. One of the teams is in August on some of their scheduled road games. They're starting to sell picnics to companies on non-game days, you know, just to try to make it more intimate. And one of the teams sold a $100,000 picnic for a date in August. So, you know, I think our mindset is that people are just not spending money, but I think we need to stop thinking that way. There are still companies that want to do things and want to get out. And even if it's not coming to a game, they still want to, you know, they still want to come to our stadiums. We still have a venue that allows them to be able to do some fun things with their staff while also kind of, you know, not being packed in a room together. So I thought that was interesting that we're going to look into.
Cool. Thank you.
The other one, I want to bring kind of Ted Glick from Sacramento Republic FC. They're doing some really amazing things on the digital side as well. So again, I'll mute myself and kind of let Ted share.
Awesome. No, thanks, Megan. I just to piggyback on what Mike and a few others were saying, I think we're also struggling with generating ways to drive revenue right now, just with everything going on. So our approach has been to really prime the pump for whenever life returns to normal. And we've really tried to amplify some of the things that our marketing and digital team have done, and then our community team have done, to have timely, thoughtful, and framed conversations with our members and then new business. So a couple examples that we've really been using. On the community side, we've got an awesome program where we're delivering groceries to seniors who are unable to get them. So we're both calling and emailing the nominators and the nominees that are receiving those. on the health and wellness side, I'm sure just like many of you, your players or team operations staff or maybe filming living room workouts, tips, tricks. We're sending those to youth sports contacts and season ticket members. And then finally sharing things like podcasts and daily contests. We've really done that through emails, through phone calls, reminding members when we're talking with them, and then using other platforms. Like we've got a video messaging tool called OneMob, where the rep will send a very heartfelt message and saying, check out some of the content below. It's been really well received on the service side, and the new business side, I think it's helped us continue to build relationships with some of those folks that were in the pipeline, and even start some new conversations with businesses that are more open to chatting when we're framing things that way. So I would encourage everyone to look at what's your community team doing that you can amplify, what's your digital team doing that you can share. And it's been really helpful for us. I know the fans have been really appreciative.
Love that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks everybody. Those are some great ideas in there. I love those. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. In the interest of time, I want to keep on moving along. So we're going to get to topic three here. So Joseph King, our chief product officer, is going to chat about some of the things we're doing at Stellar Algo to really double down on helping with data in this period. So Joseph, go for it.
Hey everybody, thanks Vince, and thank you all for attending. Really great to hear some of the thoughts and some of the things that you guys are all doing. What I want to talk to you about today is why we're doing some of the things we're doing on the platform, what they are, and what it means. Again, we know this is a really hard time, and we've got to stick together and try to help each other as partners. It's going to be really important to win back those fans when we get back out of this. And we think those teams that use data to do this will have a big differentiator in making it happen. And that's our focus, is helping our partners use data effectively through these times with some of these initiatives. We're also working with best practice communities to help teams understand their fans, take the right actions based on data, and use this as an opportunity to come out better on the other side. So I'm going to go over three of the things that we had talked about with everyone in on the minor league side. And that is primarily focused on augmenting your demographics for free. And there's some related features that come with that, and I'll talk what those are in a second. Adding merchandise to the platform so that you guys get a sense of how that factors in and how fans are using that. And finally, refunds. So there'll be some discussion here about how best to use refunds and credits and to track what people are doing. We know that this is not something that's happened in bulk before, which usually was a very small problem, is now turned into a big problem. So we're trying to find some ways to help you with that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Some of the things I'm going to talk about today overlap with what Vince was talking about, unsurprisingly. But I'm hoping I can show you a little bit about why those things are important in context of what you can do with that data. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to, once somebody, oh no, I can't share screens.
Joseph, I can allow you to share your screen.
May I please share screens?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to try and turn this into something not just talking about, but showing. And let me know when you guys can see that.
That's good.
Good. Okay. So most of the things I'm going to show you, some things I'm going to talk to, because not everything is there yet, but some of the stuff is going to start to roll out in the next week, and then it'll get better and better over the next 2 to 3 weeks after that. So the first thing I'm going to talk about, and not everyone has seen this before because it hasn't been available, it hasn't been as relevant for teams, is this Lead Universe dashboard. This is where the demographic appends come in. So right now, as Vince talked about and some of the others of you have talked, engagement is higher than it was before, but conversion is lower. So there's a big opportunity there, though, in having that higher engagement. So some of the things Ted talked about is the things they're doing in the community. Some of the things John and some of the other people here talked about in terms of doing with your reps. Your reps are out engaging with fans, learning about them, talking to them. You're learning a lot about your fans. And that is good in that you're going to know more about how many fans you have and what drives them and motivates them and about more about who they are. So this is a great time to understand your marketable universe, how big it is, how it's growing, what makes it up, and then seeing the opportunities you guys can take to capitalize on that or find opportunities to move into the next season. One of the things that I've often talked to teams about and has become really important here is don't just focus on the clicks though. Make sure this is a big opportunity for you to build a direct relationship with those fans. So knowing that you've got permission to talk to those fans and that you can know more about those fans that, you know, will help you better engage them in the future. This is a really critical period to do that. And again, that's with surveys, getting disciplined about capturing that CRM data. One thing we're going to try and do to make it easy for you guys is to take some of the lift off is this demographic data. So here is the lead universe dashboard, and this here, I've just got ticketing in it right now. And that'll be pretty standard for many of you. But it tells me how many people I've acquired over the course of a year. So it just tells me I've got about 200,000 people that I know about. And these are the people who've actually bought and engaged products with me. As we add things like merchandise, that will start to grow this in here. You'll start to see that stuff appear. And then there's an opportunity to bring in other things like your email and CRM data. But this is the unique number of people that any club will interact with, and whether that be organization contacts or residential buyers. One of the nice things about us adding these demographics is this is up to date. So now I know that my universe is about 200,000 people. I can start to see what it looks like and how it breaks down. Here right now, I've got age, gender, and income. We'll be adding ethnicity as well. And then we also start to calculate some avidity and some engagement scores if we have your email and CRM data. But this starts to show me, you know, what my age categories look like, how it's growing over time, what it's looked like at the beginning of the year, what it looked like at the end of the year, what the income is, what the avidity has been over the course of the year. And, you know, it's moving from light to casual. There's a big correlation between being in season and out of season. Because when we just rely on ticketing data. But I'm not going to focus too much on that right now. I'm going to talk a little bit about the opportunities here. So one is, these are opportunities to say, look, you know, we, unlike doing traditional surveys, this is data that we're talking about. People actually came and bought something. So we know fairly accurately what the general population looks like and what the attributes of those people are. So this is a little different than going out and doing surveys and things like that. And this is up to date. We have to update this all the time. But here, for example, you know, I in this club's got their demographic is about 30 to 40 years old, a huge portion of it. Surprisingly, especially for minor league baseball, in many areas, we expect an older demographic. So there's an opportunity there to say, hey, maybe that's a demographic we can grow into. We can go look at some opportunities to go engage those people and acquire more of those people. And you can measure how those efforts are working over time. Likewise, income down here, and we're building some of these things into the platform as well. I can start to see, you know, the basic income groups of people who are attending my games. And that is particularly relevant in the COVID period because it will speak to their capacity to spend and then how to be sensitive to that and how to engage them as things move forward. Again, one of the things that got asked, a question that got asked was about, you know, new revenue opportunities. So this will be huge when you're selling product, but we actually think that there's a revenue opportunity here to be discovered. We're not quite sure how it'll work yet, but certainly helping your sponsors and retaining your sponsors. So revenue isn't always about new revenue sometimes, sometimes it's retaining revenue. You can use some of these stats and this knowledge to go help your sponsors target some of those people and get a win for themselves. The other things I was going to show you related to this is we're not going to do a lot of targeting yet. So this is helping you understand what's going on with your fans. And then there's a, it gets to an activation piece. So in the cohort builder for some of the teams, for major league teams, we bring in demographics here. We're not going to quite do that yet. There's some things we have to figure out. But what we are going to do in the cohort analyzer is we're going to start to show you when things are converting or you targeted a segment. We'll show you what we think the demographics generally look like about those kinds of people and what's working with what demographics. And show you the major conversion categories for in the cohort analyzer that we have working here. I think that's most of the things I wanted to go over and talk about with regards to I got a chat and it just distracted me. So those, that's what I'm going to talk to you mostly about, demographics and how it matters and what's going on there. What I do want to see is, Justin asked me a question. I missed it. So that's a good question, Justin. So one of the things I didn't talk about is where are these demographics coming from? So, James just answered in the group chat, but I'll say it for everyone who's not seeing that, is that this is coming from census data that we've mapped down to a zip level. So it's useful. Its accuracy is decent, but zips can get quite large. But they're pretty good approximations of what those things are going to look like. And that's why we're working on figuring out how to bring that into the targeting part, when you can go create a segment and things like that. The next thing I wanted to show you was merchandise. So up here, one of the things we're bringing in to the platform is merchandise info from MILB.com. And likewise, if there's a minor league partner that has Shopify, the USL, we will bring that data in. And in this case, we'll help you understand, look at cohorts and find the segments of what things they're buying, when they purchased, how much they're spending, how many orders they've placed, if they've abandoned a shopping cart. This will give you some sense of the segments that you should go engage with. And then with our dynamic lists, you can have this as new people come in who just only bought merchandise. You can start to look at who those people are and stay engaged with them, build a stronger relationship, maybe have your reps reach out, but they start to flow into your lead universe. There'll be other opportunities here to upsell that merchandise into tickets as things start to turn around for us. But also there are incentives to help retain and understand if that's affecting the retention of your fans or growing the spend or the purchasing engagement and purchasing behaviors you have with those fans. Another thing that I was going to talk about after the merchandise is how your fans are responding to cancellations and postponements. And that's where we get into refund data and things like that. I don't have a ton to show right now in the platform that I can demo here, but what I will focus on is some of the things, the prototypes that we've come up with and some of the ideas, what we are looking at. Oh, before I jump onto that though, John asked me, any thought of partnering with Facebook to pull the profile information based on emails? Is that a thing? So for Facebook, we can only pull in basic data for audiences. We can't pull in demographic data that way. However, we, in some of our pro level products, we do Facebook integration. So we do let you push audiences up to Facebook. Facebook is quite, in terms of the profile information, is quite chintzy about sharing that information. However, there is a way teams can get access to that. And this starts to talk about what you should invest your time and your data in, or invest in to acquire more data, as we talked about at the beginning of this topic, which was, this is a great time to engage your fans and learn more about them and get more data on them. So one of the things that some teams have started to undertake is getting something called social sign-on, which is giving people a reason to give you their Facebook data. You can get individual fans to do that. And once you do that, then that is a great way for us to get a whole bunch of information that's not just demographic, but interest data and things like that to come in. We'd love to talk about that. Okay, I'm getting nudged because I've talked too much. I'm 1 minute over my time. On refunds, we're gonna start showing you if people have had a refund, We are going to show you once you in the analyzer, once you've got a segment of people who have been given refunds, how those people are performing over time. If they've, you know, you can pick a group of ticket buyers and you can see how many of them have taken the refund, taken a credit, what if they've moved to new products. And in the migration, product migration analyzer, we'll be showing you how to, how once they've gotten a credit, where they went and used that credit for different events or different products, or if they even have any unspent credit. So that lets you go target them and engage them around using their credits wisely and effectively. And then the last thing that we're going to do around refunds is just show you overall the usage and how your refunds tracking are tracking generally. And then the last thing that we're going to do, which I'm not going to show here because it's kind of behind the scenes, behind the curtain, is all of our predictive models around the lead recommender and our data retention. We know that these are changing times and it's hard to predict what's happening. We're going to update our machine learning to take into account these demographics, the refund behaviors, and see what noise we can, what signal we can find in the noise about what our estimates are about how people are going to renew or who are good prospects to engage with as the new season starts. And lastly, yeah, I mean, these things only get better as the more data we have. So there's an opportunity here to talk about bringing in engagement data like your email, like your social and your CRM into this. And I will leave it there because I've gone way past my time. So thanks, guys, for your patience. And I loved your questions.
Vince, before you wrap it up, I'm just going to, if anybody here has any additional questions about or wants to kind of dive further into what Joseph showed, by all means, you know, you guys have Lee and James, you guys are in contact with, a lot, just kind of ping them, and they can probably set up, if a lot of people want it, probably a larger, group call, on another day, but we're happy to go through this in more detail as well.
Thanks, Joseph. Thanks, Megan. Yeah, so just, you know, wrapping things up, guys. You know, thanks everybody for joining here today. Yeah, really enjoyed exploring those three topics with you guys. And, you know, hopefully we did, you know, at least touch on some of the things you guys were interested to learn more about. You know, this is all front and center for us, and we are, you know, very focused on helping you guys understand your fans through this, you know, start to use data in a more active way so that you're prepared when seasons do ultimately return. We are available to you guys, you know, to support you guys through this in these areas. But loved hearing from, you know, a bunch of the different teams on some of the great ideas out there as well. You know, we'll follow up with this. I don't know, it might be helpful to even share the attendee list after Megan, but there are some really, really great people. And I love Joseph's point about, you know, this is a crisis time. And, you know, as an industry, we need to pull together in order to end up on the right side of it, coming out of it. So I want to make sure we're connecting our communities together in order to do that. You know, just some sort of high level reminders or recaps that I wanted to point out. I made a point about just rolling up sleeves on data capture. So, you know, Joseph talked about some new functionality, pulling in e-com data, et cetera, but, you know, CRM systems, you know, digital platforms, you know, how are we growing our understanding of our fan base in this time? Are we learning more? And is that information getting documented somewhere so we can use it to our advantage coming out of this? Because it is going to be very valuable. We can't just assume the fans are going to, you know, come back to us, you know, once games start again. I also wanted to just talk about the new currencies right now, and, you know, starting to, you know, measure those engagement data points, affinity and silly revenue streams. Think a little bit about what your organizational KPIs, your department KPIs, those can be really, really great pillars for you guys to rally around as departments, And then as you test and learn around some of those new KPIs, you know, I think that it can be also sort of a source of optimism and hope to see if you can engage fans with content. You know, is that working? You know, we did A/B tests, really interesting. The fans cared about this and we documented it. I think that that can be a really important exercise as well, to make sure we're engaging our fans and aligning our organization around, you know, metrics that, that we can, you know, be hopeful around, and not just the fact that we, you know, can't sell tickets today. So that was another point that I just wanted to be, to be brought up. The last one is, we just did hear a lot of really great ideas, I think, from the different teams. And I think one thing that, you know, different leagues have different strengths, but, you know, I've been really impressed by how flexible, you know, minor league organizations in particular have been around, you know, throwing out the old plans and playbooks, and then, thinking fresh and new and coming up with big creative ideas. That is a real core competency, you know, for this group. And so I think that's going to really serve, you know, serve all of our teams. So keep thinking of, like, the, you know, those big ideas and use that creativity, you know, where possible, to, you know, rally fans, engage them now, and then win them back after. So just as like a quick, you know, action item, we are going to send out a brief, post-call survey to everybody. So, you know, we'd love your guys' feedback, you know, in that survey, but also just share, you know, we've got a lot of great ideas for great content on a next, call of these, but we know that there's a lot of other calls out there and share of your attention. So we'd love to do this again, if it was valuable for you guys. We'll also, you know, do a call recap. So we're going to create a bit of a blog on this. If some of your staffs couldn't go, or couldn't make it, and there were some points in here, we're going to try and summarize those, as well as the full audio we'll share as well. Last one is our CS team will also look to do a little bit of a postmortem with you guys on what you found interesting as well. So with that, I know we went over time. So thanks everybody for taking time out of your days. You know, please keep communicating with us. We'd love to feature, you know, your stories on future calls and share them with customers. And we want to showcase all the great things going on across our customer base. So thank you guys for being great partners and for making time for this today.